This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and I've got my friend David Curry on the line from Open Doors USA. We're going to be talking about the latest report that just came out from the Red Cross. It's highlighting the fact that 22,000 people remain missing since the Boko Haram crisis began in Nigeria. And this is the highest number of missing people in any country. And David, it seems to me like every month lately, we've been seeing a new set of shocking numbers. In July, it was 25,000 people in Nigeria have been killed by extremists. August, on your website, I saw 8,000 kids have been abducted. And now in September, 22,000 are missing. With numbers of this magnitude, why isn't this situation getting more of a response on the international level?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is the ineffectual response of the Nigerian government. And this is over a long period of time since Boko Haram, which is what I like to call an ISIS-affiliated group. They've been attacking in the northern part of the country, as well as have other extremist groups. There's another one called Fulani herdsmen that have been attacking Christian villages as well. So it's not as though Boko Haram have been alone in all this. But what's happened is the Nigerian government has really responded poorly and ineffectually. So it's in their best interest to not draw attention to how badly things have gone in the northern part of the country. When they speak about it, it's always in terms of giving assurances that they're going to get on it. But of course, years now have passed. Millions of people have been displaced. Christian villages are most affected because they have been the targeted people group. But others have been hurt and are missing as well from other more moderate Muslim groups and elsewhere. So the responsibility really lies at the hands of the government. And you might say, well, what exactly is it that they're doing that's so ineffectual? Well, they send, when they do send in military troops to protect these villages, oftentimes they don't have the weapons, or if they do have weapons, they don't have any bullets to protect. So these extremist groups can attack these villages, rape, kidnap, and kill people in the villages, and there's no effective response. So it's very practical ways in which the government has fallen down in protecting the Christian communities and other communities in the north of Iraq. Nigeria.
If this is the, you know, what you're describing, if that's the situation, why aren't more countries getting involved? I know that's a very, that answer lies in politics, but it seems like there would be more of a response, even if it were just humanitarian aid.
Well, like a lot of these regional issues, they start out as issues within a sovereign government. So Nigeria has a government. It's duly elected. It's not effective, and they may well at some point be voted out. But it's a country just like any other that sometimes elects leaders that aren't good at their job. Now, the challenge that the world community has to come to is when you reach boiling point, like is happening in the north of Iraq, where so many people have been displaced, where there's, I believe, been a genocide. If you look at, I know these words get sometimes tossed around, but it meets the definition of it. I believe you have a genocide that has happened and is happening in the north of Nigeria. What then typically happens and where people get involved in the international community is that it rolls over into other countries. Now you have Niger, you have Cameroon, who are beginning to see attacks on their territory. So I think that all the evidence is pointing that not only has the government lost control at the northern part of Nigeria, but it's going to leak over to other areas. And you could have a situation like you had in the north of Iraq, where a group like Boko Haram tries to set up a caliphate where they control whole swaths of territory. And we certainly don't want to see that happen.
And as you guys work with these persecuted Christians, How have they maintained their faith in what's been dragging on now for eight years ago is when we, MNN, started talking to Open Doors about Boko Haram, about their reign of terror. You know, how do Christians maintain their faith in the midst of something like this?
Well, the reality is a lot of Christians had to leave for safety, but the communities that remain, I mean, they're just, they really are an inspiration. What they see is their role in being salt and light in these communities and representing their faith. And of course, they want to stay in their hometowns, in their villages. But maintaining their faith is about staying in community. A lot of times when you see persecution, you see groups that are intentionally trying to isolate Christians, let them know that they're, make them think that they're alone. And that's why we talk so much about trying to get the Christian community to pray for Northern Nigeria, to pray for those people attacked and affected by the violence of Boko Haram, so that they don't feel alone, so that they're not isolated, so that churches are able to stay open, so that they can be safe. That's one of the reasons why we really are pressuring the Nigerian government to protect these soft targets like churches, like Christian schools. But of course, those are the first places that get attacked. So they've got to stay in community. They need the support of the international Christian community praying for them on a spiritual level and speaking on their behalf in a political and social sense.
And to kind of play the devil's advocate here, why should people pray about the situation when it seems like so far the prayers have gone unanswered?
Well, that is a terrific question. On the spiritual level, we know that these are often spiritual battles, and that while we don't always see what's happening behind the scenes, we need to really be obedient and ask God to please, you know, advocate on their behalf, Lord, in these very difficult and violent situations. Oftentimes we see big crises that the Lord uses. There's a silver lining that God somehow brings about his purposes. But I also think it's a combination of not only being faithful and not understanding the spiritual side of this, but of just faithfully calling each other to do what God has called us to do, which is stand with our family, stand with these believers, as if they were our own brothers and sisters. That's the biblical mandate that we have to remember. These are our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are being persecuted for one reason, and that is because they have become followers of Jesus. And we cannot let violence against them go unchallenged.